At issue were the so-called Pentagon Papers, thousands of stolen documents that explained how we became mired in the Vietnam conflict. Daniel Ellsberg had given the material to the New York Times, and they showed how Presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Johnson misled both the Congress and the people with a steady stream of misinformation, distortion, and outright lies. A number of legal actions followed, and on the last day of June 1971, the U.S. Supreme Court, acting with uncharacteristic haste, rendered a 6-3 decision that said the New York Times and the Washington Post could indeed continue to print the documents. But a closer examination shows that the victory was much narrower, and in some ways much more dangerous, than it first appeared. Although the actual vote was 6-3 in favor of publication, the justices actually came out, philosophically, 7-2 against the papers. 4 of the 6 said they felt the government attorneys had not presented their cases well, or said they would not do what Congress had failed to do, namely prohibit the publication of secret information. In fact, one of the justices as much as invited Congress to pass such a law, and then said he would have no trouble upholding it. So, what was the end result of the Pentagon Papers? Well, the results were far more reaching than anyone could have imagined at the time, but in a totally different area, and led directly to Watergate. Like so many great events in American history, the Pentagon Papers have produced their own mythology. But even if their outcome was not a resounding victory for the press, the aftermath certainly illustrates the point made by Thomas Jefferson that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. I'm Larry Burris.